is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 4th of November, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Well, welcome, welcome. We made it over the hump of hump day. I can see everybody is excited, especially the people at the Ministry of Works. Dear people at Ministry of Works, it is too early to put out nativity scenes. It is far too early. I'm certain that you haven't done a reconciling of your electricity bill from last year. We know that. We know that. Please, we okay? We could wait a couple more weeks before you put up the nativity scene. Here's why. Because we feel like maybe you should redirect that electricity to some of these street lights that are not working. There are a number of communities that not only are their street lights not working, but it turns out they have to turn to a private sector service provider to get this working. Now, let me tell you, this is more fascinating than Ocean's 11. Okay, this is like Creek 17. Watch this. So, what we really inquiry is into what is happening at BPL. What happened to the tree trimming department? You thought the Oban file was a thing? A whole tree trimming department has gone missing from BPL. This is a big, it's more mysterious than the mysterious case of the missing money or the ordinary case of the Oban file. But I mean, if you call another service provider that also requires tree trimming, right, like an internet service provider or a telephone service provider, typically they're going to tell you that you need to go to BPL for your tree trimming needs. And then BPL can tell you you need to go to the service provider whose service is being interrupted to deal with that tree trimming matter. But it turns out that nobody knows where the tree trimming department is. Anyway, so that extra electricity that you're using for those nativity scenes, check this out. Jesus didn't have electricity back then, so he wouldn't be that. But there are young boys and girls, young women and men, elderly people who have to move through communities. Yeah, we know that it's going to get darker far earlier than we want, and they need light. Not because they think they're fancy, they think they live in the 21st century, but because it's dangerous to be walking on unlit roads in such a rapey, and I say rapey culture, what I mean is we can't ignore the fact that sexual predation continues to our communities. And we now live in communities where children cannot trust that they can move where they need to safely. So we need some lights. We need some lights so people who are now installing things like ring cameras and security cameras, so that if they do capture something, it is pinnated, so we could make sense of what it is that we have captured. Their BPL, their Ministry of Works, it's just too soon. It ain't Christmas time yet. Plus, Chick Johnny, man in the bush. Put up some John Canoe figure. Put up some by them sculling. From island to island, they ain't passing out no ham, you know. They passing out hog snapper. See, you could fit right in. Some people eating ham, some people eating hog snapper. And I'm excited this morning. Let me tell you why. Well, because I've got my returning guest, Mr. Phil Davis Jr. on, and we're talking agriculture. But also, let me tell you how the things line up. So I told you on Monday, when I read the article announcing that Sia Wright from McCaffrey Academy, was the winner of the New Providence section of the 20 junior chef or young chef competition. Well, they were competing again, the second part of the competition. They competed again last night. I have not heard the results. I've been waiting for the results. But I want to say big up to Sia again. Big up to all the students from all the family islands. But I have to celebrate this vegan chef. I got to celebrate this young child who focuses on vegan. You want to encourage to those of us out here looking for new paths of healthy living, for those of us experimenting with or committing to the vegan and vegetarian lifestyle. And so, Davis Jr. is to highlight how farmers and chefs can work together, how you can increase your own palate and your own culinary experience, right, through local agriculture, whether you're growing it yourself or are young chefs, relationships with farmers, to develop, not just to grow plants, but to cultivate farm and to cultivate a national palate, right? And to enable or to build the capacity of young chefs to be able to participate with greater agency and ownership in tourism and culinary tourism specifically, but tourism generally, because people is come here for sun, sand, and sea, but that don't mean they only gonna eat beach, right? So congratulations to see. I don't know who won the competition yet. Let me say this. I don't know who the winner is, but I just congratulating her for participating. And I'm sure she's done her best. And congratulations to all the students that are participating in that event. Just a couple more quick housekeeping notes. The light at Village and Shirley Street seems to be off. Please come and fix it. Let me tell you why. People have already become confused and dazed in this madness. BTC truck coming up in the northbound lane. I guess just confused. I mean, for 3 minutes. Like he thought that the world had come to an end and he had to jump out of the line of traffic and overtake everybody. That's how confused people get when the systems aren't working properly. That's a polite way of saying that these people ain't got no patience, they ain't got no personal discipline, they probably, some of them don't have any professional discipline either, or standards, they lack empathy, and when something goes awry, they have no regard for others, refuse to practice patience and mindfulness, and just gonna do whatever it is they wanna do. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. And so my response to that is, dear Royal Bahamas Police Force, dear Ministry of Works, please do your job. Not just enforcing the traffic controls, but ensuring the systems are in place so the traffic controls can work properly. Dear insurance industry, I don't know how this happened, but it's time that your clients that are liable for road traffic accidents that damage or destroy public infrastructure are caused to pay for it. Like, I don't know how that happened. What I do know is I used to be getting pinched for not pronouncing words correctly, and Sharon used to get beat for not coming home on time. Not me. I didn't get beat for not coming home on time. But what I'm saying is, imagine all of that, and y'all have figured out a way how not to hold, to have your client who is liable for an accident, liable for replacing the infrastructure that was damaged or destroyed in the accident. Anyway, see, traffic out there is a mess. The people out there doing foolishness. I try to bring it to you with a little light humor, some jokes, so we don't focus on the negative. I ain't focusing on the negative. I'm focusing on the mechanisms and systems in place to manage this and why they're not working. Why are they dysfunctional? How could the largest amount of traffic infractions occur right next to police stations? I'm talking to you, Nassau Street Police Station, and you, Wolf Road Street Police Station. Like, it just don't make any sense. How could I come into work, be politely stuck behind a truck that's overloaded with construction equipment, but they're trying to be sensible with it and move slowly through the road? So I'm waiting patiently, because I'm only going to turn off at the Guardian in 3 seconds. So as I'm turning off, I watch this car from behind us overtake the truck on the hill in the face of oncoming traffic. In the face of oncoming traffic, coming down a hill with a fence on the side, there's nowhere for them to even run off to. I mean, from Friday of last week to today, that's 7 days, right? The foolishness I've seen on the road. And every time I see it, I think to myself, hold on. We have a whole mechanism whose responsibility is managing traffic. And if you go into any major police station, there's a beautifully posted, beautifully created poster indicating the top five issues or mandates of the police force. And number two is traffic control and management. Well, let me tell you something. While y'all are focused on the gang activity, the antisocial behavior, the things, the behavior that you say is destroying Bahamian life, requires your immediate focus. It's like y'all don't see these other people on the road terrorizing other road users. And see, because here's why it's difficult. See, because they don't look like Bobo and your boy through the corner that you could get away with raggying up because he ain't nobody. They look like fancy people. And they sound like me. When they come up to their car, they stretch their words. They try to intimidate you with their social credit and their social, I don't say prowess, but their age, you know, where I am. You know, if I sound like this, you don't want to mess with me, young man. Don't mind that I'm on my cell phone cutting a flick. Obviously, I know lawyers, right? Like, you'll be out here terrorizing people. And I'm going to say this with all due respect to the 3 Score and 10 gang. I appreciate the agency with which you attempt to hold on to your power. In a town where power is constructed around the amount of money you have and the control you could have over your own life. Listen, 9 o'clock in the morning, driving 15 miles an hour up the Eastern Road, that's called social disobedience. That's what that is. I mean, you're just not fitting in. 15 miles an hour? Of course, 45 miles an hour is too much. If you don't want to go 35 miles an hour, we understand that because the speed limit is 25. But 15 in the peak of morning traffic, my friends? The truth is you shouldn't have to drive yourself anywhere. This society should have honored you sufficiently to understand that older people should have the freedom to move, whether they could drive themselves or not. Don't take it out on the rest of us. Take it out on the political class that doesn't see fit to ensure that the most vulnerable in this society have the things they need. Because I can acknowledge you as vulnerable. I could acknowledge you as important. I could acknowledge you as needing, requiring, deserving deference. But what I cannot accept is why you feel you need to be driving down a busy road in peak traffic time at 15 miles an hour. Be a part of the society. And let me tell you why. This is important. I can say this. It feels like the younger people are kicking you out. They're putting you on the side. They said, oh, old man, your time is up. Old mom, go in the kitchen and mind, baby. But the truth is, this is the society you created. Remember that drug commercial? They learned this by watching you. They learned this by watching you. This is a society that you created. And now you are having difficulty reconciling with it. As you move past, they call the vestiges of power. Once you are no longer in that space where you wield ultimate power. So I get it, I understand. But the response is not to terrorize others to hold on to power. Not to ignore the development and advancement of the society around you to hold on to power. The decision we must make collectively is to sit together and decide how are we going to live? How are we going to show respect to those things that we think deserve respect? We can sit down together and do it. But if you ain't paying attention, people, let the traffic culture and driving and behavior be a warning to you. What you see happening in the road is what you see happening in your communities. What you see happening on the road is what you see happening in families. And more importantly, what you see happening on the road is what you see happening in your government, in your systems of governance. I don't need a survey to know how dysfunctional governance is in this town. I could just go on the road and watch it unfold in front of me. Anyway, let me give you all the call-in numbers. Obviously, it should be obvious to everyone by now that I did not have my breakfast this morning. I was forced to eat my feelings, like far too many children in this town are forced to do on their way to school every day. That's an aside. Today, I'm going to talk with Dr. Phil Davis Jr. Let me get back from this break. In fact, I can call him Farmer Dr. Phil Davis Jr. I am asking him to give us tips and ideas for the peak of winter vegetable season. We got to get our gardens growing. So Kermit, let's go to a break, and when we get back, I'm going to bring him into the discussion. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Hubert Edwards Global, in collaboration with Dr. Dave Burrows and iRise, presents the 5th Annual Success Summit. Under the theme, Success Keys to Transform Your World, December 3rd through 4th, 2 days of transformational experiences with dynamic presenters from the Bahamas, Nigeria, Canada, USA, and Jamaica. You can't afford to miss this mind shift moment. 5 scholarship grants, 2 leadership awards, 1 life-changing event. This is a virtual event, so visit www.nlsolutionsbahamas.com for more details. This is what you've been waiting for. Success Summit 2021.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and my guest this morning is Mr. Farmer Phil Davis Jr. Good morning.
Top of the morning. Thanks for having me again.
Now, listen, I can start the show by giving them our call-in numbers and our text lines. I've asked Mr. Davis to come on and be open to answering some questions. So if you got questions about backyard farming, growing in your garden, now is the time. I got some questions. So if you don't have any, I got some for you. Our text line is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. I was supposed to say this before the end of the show yesterday. I got a text from somebody. I just wanted to tell them, yeah. I wanted to reiterate if I didn't say it yesterday. I wasn't reading that text out loud. I mean, it was about me, you know, I ain't reading. If you send it again, maybe I'll read it, but I just wanted you to know I saw it, but I wasn't reading it. Good morning, Mr. Davis, how you do?
Top of the morning, can't complain at all.
Good, good. So, let me start off with this question. Which vegetables should we start the grow season with?
All right, so within this winter season, you're looking at cooler temperatures, so we have more water retention in the ground. So we're looking at things that we can put into the ground to eat. So things like carrots, radish, rutabagas, turnips. But then again, too, above ground, we're looking at things like beans, peas, beets, celeries, endives.
Now, when you say beets above ground, what you mean? Because beets grow below ground.
Well, the roots grow below ground. The beets start to protrude above ground. So when they're starting to be ripe, and you start to see them protrude the ground and be up.
Right.
Yes.
And so something like a cassava doesn't protrude the ground.
No, cassava is in the ground, but you'll see the flowers on the actual tree itself. Okay. Then you know that the cassava is about ready.
When you see the flowers on the tree.
Correct.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So another question. What vegetables should we grow together?
All right. You have compatibility and non-compatibility.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times you'll start to see, well, let's go back ancient days. We had the three sisters that our ancestors used to grow. That was the corn, the squash, and the beans.
Okay.
So the corn was the actual trellis for the beans to grow onto, and the squash was the ground cover to keep the water into the ground and support the whole system. So as you would see, you had three set of plants that were able to have a relationship to support each other.
Okay, now let me ask you something. Do you have any examples of that happening in other plants or like other plant systems we could see right now?
Yeah, there. You're talking about going within ground and dealing with a raised bed.
Okay.
So when you're dealing with raised bed, you can have way more density. So you're looking at a more variety of plants that you can grow in a controlled area.
Okay.
So within those controlled areas, you're starting to see now a lot of people are growing a variety of vegetables within a small space, and they're finding that it works.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, is that the same sort of thing as permaculture?
I'm not too sure about
that. So, I think permaculture is like where you go, when you go out in the bush and you look at what the bush is doing.
Naturally.
And then you say, okay, then I can put this here. And you sort of let the bush tell you where to put the things and what will grow together.
Exactly.
Awesome.
That ends up happening. So when you're looking at things that can grow together, some of the items that were grown into the winter, you have beans.
Mm-hmm.
So beans can be compatible with cabbage, cucumbers, corns, things like strawberries, but they do not do well with things like onions and garlic. The beets.
Why? Because in my pot, beans and onions and garlic grow great together.
Mm-hmm.
But why not together in the land?
It could be from the nutrients that a certain set of plants are pulling that's going to deplete another one.
Right, so they're fighting for the same nutrients.
Listen. Also, it could be the root covers as well, because normally a lot of times when you have plants that are compatible, some of those, the roots only go about an inch, half an inch into the ground, whilst the other ones, like a tomato or something, is going almost a foot into the ground. So there's no crossing of taking nutrients from that certain layer soil.
All right. So things that we shouldn't grow close together.
Things that should not grow close together. So once again, that's things like your eggplants. They won't grow together good with tomatoes, beans, peppers, and stuff like that. Tomatoes, again, these will not do good with things like corn, because you're going to be fighting for the sun. It's going to be like the canopy. So those won't work well together. Things like with the cabbage, again, the tomatoes and the peppers, they're going to be taking away all the nutrients and taking away from the chlorophyll. Also, remember, oxygen needs to be allowed to get into the leaves as well, too. So if your plants are too densely put together,
right,
it won't be able to breathe and get everything that it needs to grow.
And I only got one fan in my house. I got to use that fan for myself. Plants, them think they're special. So watch this. I had a particular experience. Somebody said they had a yellow watermelon at the market this weekend. So I had to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing with watermelon is that people could tell you what it is. You could grow something and think you know what it is, but you don't know what it is until you cut it open,
mm-hmm.
right? And the reason I jump at this yellow watermelon is because I had a yellow watermelon before from, I think it's either Exuma or Cat Island, coming out of Produce Exchange on Potter's Key Dock. And say, good morning to Myrtle. Anyway, and Rev, right? And the people, them cool. So they found this yellow watermelon, and the person who found it and bought it, sharing it up with everybody. So I was dead excited. Anyway, I get to the market this Saturday, have a chance to buy a yellow watermelon, cut it open. It is not yellow. However, I was not totally dismayed. It was yellow at one point, obviously. But it seems as if they plant the yellow watermelon too close to the red watermelon. Because it had bright orange veins. It had bright orange veins. So are there any, like, if I grow in two type of peppers, or if I'm growing sweet peppers and hot peppers together, should I be careful? Is there a distance I need to keep them apart? Because I don't want my sweet pepper get too hot, and I don't want my hot pepper get too sweet.
Okay, there's two parts to that. The distance for those. Normally those plants you're gonna plant or separate about a foot to 3 feet apart.
Okay.
Now, when you're looking at the next set of crops, So that's taking the seeds from that product.
Uh-huh.
Now you're looking at cross-contamination. So if you have different tomatoes or different peppers, it's the next generation. So you'll have bee.
Is it the bee that's come in and interfering?
It's the interference of it. So you can have a huge farm, but as long as those bees are traveling on that and you're way further apart than 10 foot,
yeah,
that's recommended, man, if that bee goes onto the one plant and that goes onto the next one, that's cross-pollination, and now you think that you're taking this seed from the red bell pepper, and it's been crossed with the yellow one, or it's been crossed with a hot pepper, now you're going to have a different product. And you're thinking that it's going to be the original, and it's not so.
And this, look here, this could be fun, you know, like if you were an amateur farmer, mm-hmm, it'd be great to discover these new things in your farm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a farmer with a contract to sell a crop to somebody, and it turns out you did not grow what you contracted to sell them, it could be problematic.
And this is how they came out with some of the hottest peppers in the world. It was cross-pollinations, and they saw the strains coming in, and they developed on them.
Let's get a couple callers on the line. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the calls. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
A pleasure. Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning.
My dear guest, I'd like when you get a farmer on.
Top of the morning, Sparky.
A horticulturist.
And a fellow valley boy, eh?
Listen, look, don't make the Saxons root up all the flowers in your valley.
What's the name? But you know, not in the valley, that's so near. You know, but anyway, hey, Montreal, whatever it is, from East Street to Camp Road.
You're good.
All of that is the valley.
Yes, sir.
But over the hills are on top of us. But, you know, I've been trying. I'm not a trained farmer or nothing like that. It's just like a little hobby to me. I've been trying just with my little yard down in Florida State, and it seems like everything I put in the ground grows. But now I run out of space with the veggies because most of the big trees, like the avocados, coconuts, mangoes, you name them, but I call them heavenly trees, the ones that go up high, and the ones down at the bottom, like veggies, I call them a little earthly plants. But I haven't problems that anytime I try tomatoes or anything now, it'll spring, but then they grow up 4 inches high and the plant just sit there and I don't get no fruit. Is that because they're not getting proper sunlight because of the big trees, like the juju trees and everything?
You are absolutely correct. And tomatoes are inside the plant range. They love temperatures above 85 degrees.
And tomatoes and stuff like that, they need like a real open, like a farm, like.
Exactly.
But okay, I just got some acreage of land the other day from the Ministry of Agriculture down off of Cowpen Road. And what I'm really trying to find out is there an almanac? Because I find out when you go to established farmers, like some of those guys who've been down from Gladstone Road, Carmichael Road for a long time,
mm-hmm,
and you ask them for assistance in teaching you what to do and stuff like that, they seem to be, I can use this word, hogs.
Yeah.
In information and teaching young people or new people what they know. Is there an almanac around here who could tell me what the plant meant? Because I really just be guessing. If I got to see it, I put it down to see it catch. But I don't get the production.
I know couple human almanac, right? But they're typically so busy doing their work that they don't have the time to do the research and then put it together in a way that's easily understood.
But what I'm saying is, maybe give me a couple of minutes. What I'm saying, Ms. Green, is when I go down to Gladstone Farm Saturdays and see the many people with different produce, it looks like they're a little successful compared to me.
Uh-huh.
But when you ask them information, like, they shy away from telling you what they know.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I mean, I don't know why people are like that. When everybody just trying to learn this thing, we're trying to encourage families to get into our agriculture to feed ourselves. But some people miss because they want to make all the money. They want to let you know how they grow their tomatoes.
Yeah, they want to give you to the tree.
And before I go, Ms. Green, I can tell you one thing. There's some old sayings from, like, when you're powerful, be merciful. And when you do unto others, they'll do the same things unto you. You got the button sometimes, and you don't be fair. Have a good day.
Good.
All right, Sparky, let's get back to the to what you were saying about the tomatoes. Your tomatoes, they're going to need more direct sunlight. Tomatoes like temperatures above 85 degrees. As you were talking about the bigger trees that you had inside your yard,
If you'd like to make a call,
they're
going to
provide 15 degrees less than what it is outside. So if you're looking at 90 degrees outside, it's going to be below the 85 degrees. So it's going to need more of the direct sunlight to produce the chlorophyll to give you your flowers and to your fruits on those. The next thing with those tomato plants as well is you're going to have to remove the sucker plants. If you do not remove the sucker plants are going to take most of the nutrients, and once again, you're going to have less flowers and less vegetables on your plants.
So what's
as well.
The sucker plant?
The sucker plant, it's you find it on the plant. There's the main stem that goes up, and then you have the leaf stem that comes across. That creates a Y. Anything that grows in between the Y is an actual plant itself. You can remove that and propagate, and you will have the same fruit the same time as the main plant. Those same hair-looking fibers that are on the stem of a tomato plant, in contact with water or soil, those bad boys turn into roots.
Listen, tomato, look at how versatile and powerful you are. Anyway, I got another caller coming in. Caller, you're on the clock.
Well, good morning, David. It's talking away, so along with you and your guest. Pretty eye here in green.
Boy, look here. I soon I can start growing these pretty eyes. The Hasties and the Mitchells gonna make $1 billion.
Well, that would be beautiful.
There you go.
That's what God put you here for.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
But I have a couple of questions. It's in Sparky beat me to my main question.
All right, I could only take one. I got a couple calls and texts.
Okay. Well, okay. Now the gentleman spoke of growing. Things in the area where trees are already at, right? My point to you is, wouldn't those stuff in which you go where a bunch of bushes are already at, wouldn't the fruit or whatever, or vegetable would come out, what you would call done growth?
What's that? You're talking about a heavily bushed area and trying to grow in that area? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah. Like if you said, like how you said, the trees will show you where to grow.
Oh yeah, I think they call it permaculture. If I'm not mistaken, it's a technique you use where you're not attempting to disrupt the space you want to grow in. You want the space to tell you what grows, what is optimal to grow in it.
But wouldn't it come out and grow because the other trees would not allow it to get certain amount of breeze or water.
Well, that's a part of it too. Survival of the fittest. So if
that's fruit, a part of what?
That's a part of it as well. Survival of the fittest. So if your fruit tree or your vegetable plant is the one to get the dominant light and it takes over and the weeds
can't
grow.
I can't hear you. I'm turning the radio.
Okay, say it again.
All right, so what we were talking about was the density of the plants, correct? So what they will do, the ground will show you exactly what you would want to grow. So if your vegetable plant or your fruit plant is the one that's going to get the dominance of the nutrients and the light, and it takes over and it's going to stop the weeds from growing, you have an excellent situation going on right there, all right? But naturally, what's going to happen is that a plant's going to drop down its seeds or pest or humankind is going to come and consume, and we're going to spread out. Normally, you're not going to spread too far away from the main plant, so you're going to start to see something like a canopy growing. And the only things that will be able to survive with inside that environment are complementary plants. So naturally, you're going to see the combination of things that work together well in nature, and then you don't have to reproduce the wheel. You see exactly what's working, and you just duplicate it, or you become an aid helper and just support provide the support for those plants.
And thank you. I'm going to go to this caller, and then I'm going to tell you all how passion fruit and my neighbor, Mr. Reginald Raccoon, are slowly taking over my backyard. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Davis. I like listening to this young man. You know, Aaron, he's so correct. I noticed when I plant certain trees together in close proximity, they would grow away from one another in order to move and go towards the sunlight. But a question is, you know, to Sparky, there's a guy down at the farmer's market named Mr. Carroll, and he has a wealth of knowledge. He gave me some insight into citrus and stuff like that. And I have a question for Mr. Davis, and also you, Aaron. I have a gift for you, Aaron. I have some lychee nut seeds. I have about 50, right? Lychee nuts.
Yeah, yes.
They are very hard to grow. That's what happens. And my brother, you know, he's grow stuff, and he have about 10 sprang in the pot with the fever grass. But I notice I get a good response with the Pro Mix, right?
Okay.
But lychee nuts has been one of the most difficult plants I've I'm trying to get into fruition. But a friend of mine who used to live in Lifekeep, I learned about them from him, and from then I fall in love with them. That there's two types, mm-hmm. but it's very hard to grow. And I was just wondering if you could give me some tips. I have some in the pot now, but I just wanted to know how can I really, really, really get them to thrive. Aaron, if they bear before I die, you'd have to come and bring me some. But I could bring you some seeds or a couple of the plants. I could leave them at the desk or whatever.
Absolutely.
That's the respect. All right.
Absolutely. I have something in exchange for you. It may be a little Chickchani-ish, but it'll be there. Thank you so much. Lychee nuts, two types.
I'll research those, but I love to start off seeds and germination and stuff. So if I could get my hands on a couple of those, I've never grown them before, I'd love to try it. But yeah, going back to the density of the plants, me personally, I feel that the first internet or the base of the internet came from plants.
Because looking how plants work, yeah.
Exactly. The root systems inside the ground, they communicate with each other. So if one plant is being attacked by bugs, I'm telling you, the communication that goes on between these roots, it starts to spread to the other plants. A defense mechanism starts to come up. One plant will start to produce either spikes or something like that to keep the bugs off, and you start to see all the rest of the plants pick it up. But naturally, in a healthy environment, these plants will not produce those spikes because they didn't need to.
Right, right. Yep. Listen, let me tell you how fascinating that is, and I'm going to get to these texts quickly. So researchers, scientists in the U.S. on the West Coast were looking at a ridge of spruce trees, right? And they're doing some research, like genetic research on the spruce trees. And they found out that it's not a ridge of spruce trees. It's one tree,
uh-huh.
one massive root system of one tree that is miles and miles, like acres wide, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the whole redwood system. Anyway, see, at the beginning of my show in February, I announced that I wanted us to look at this book, The Botany of Desires, right? And I went to my library to look for this book that I had just touched maybe 2 months ago and couldn't find it. And would y'all believe, I still can't find this book right now. And this would be the second time that I've purchased this book. And somebody has found it and loved it more than I loved it. But you read about the redwoods and the forests in California, and you realize that these trees are not individual trees in a forest. They're not a family of trees in a forest. They are one organism that expresses itself in this way, right? The plant life, the plant world is fascinating.
Yep. Breadfruits are like that as well.
Yeah.
As the roots grow off, you can sporadically have a plant that grows out from the roots, extending away from the main plant.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to propagate breadfruit, you got to do it through the root system.
Exactly.
Look here, let's get to these texts. Text says, good morning, Aaron. Help. Had a mango tree in the ground for 12 months. And aim move 1 inch. Ask Mr. Davis, what should I do to enhance growth? But first of all, you gotta go out there. You gotta set up like a picnic or something. Take a small TV or take your phone and put it on a nice movie. You gotta sit down and entertain the tree. You gotta uh-huh. talk to the tree. You gotta love the tree. But Mr. Farmer Man, tell us what to do.
With something like that, more than likely they're looking at a density issue inside the soil. So the soil is really, really compact. More than likely, you probably only digged out an area for a small plant. And as it started to grow, it started to hit the calcium limestone inside the ground. That's a lot more hard to let the roots penetrate. So once those roots stay root-bound and small, the tree itself is going to stay small as well. So with a situation like that, what you might have to do is to actually do the perimeter around the tree, dig down to the roots,
mm-hmm.
Prune those, let some aeration get inside there, meaning some more oxygen and all that. Allow those roots to healthily bind themselves and start to spread, and then hopefully you'll start to see some action happening. Also, it might be a phosphorus situation where if you're not seeing any flowers or anything coming off of them, any fruits, then your plant is more than likely being deprived of phosphorus as well.
All right. I got a text here that says, my wife and I started backyard farming a year ago, and we have problems with snails continuously eating the sweet peppers.
Yeah. Well, once again, what I tell people, these pests are going to come if there's a problem going on with your plants. Normally, if you have a healthy plant, they won't have any intruders and stuff coming to them, all right? But with the snails, things like now that we've discontinued the pennies, copper pennies, anything like copper that snails go over, they don't like it, they retract and they go back. Broken up eggshells onto the ground. Once again, once the snails cross over to those, it's unpleasant on their bodies itself, and they'll turn back as well. Another thing that you can do, and this is probably sacrilegious for me, you got to put down some beer. The snails will come and drink up the beer, drown themselves, and that'll be them right there. So those are just three natural ways that you can repel the snails away from your plants.
Awesome. When you're thinking about snails, I was thinking about another sort of prolific issue, which is white fly.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so I find it hard. Like, I'm not going to sacrifice a dilly tree to grow two tomato plants.
Yeah.
Right? How do you deal with white fly in the tropics?
Once again, I'm all organic, so I be a pest to the pests. I completely piss them off. I'll just miss with water, keep on getting them every day. Other than that, you got to wipe them off with a little bit of a joy solution with some cayenne pepper inside of it. Also, cinnamon. Cinnamon will help you keep them away as well. And cinnamon is antibacterial, antifungus. Fungus help too.
All right. And what I found watching a neighbor go through a grow project and trying to figure out how to deal with the white fly, eventually, like, I told them what I would do is I would grow and capture the strongest plants, those that did best with the white fly at the end of the season, and propagate those and start my new grow season with that stalk, with that hardy stalk.
Man, you look like you know what you're talking about.
So I don't know. I don't know nothing.
Yes, but you got plants. You'll have plants that are already acclimated to your farm itself and into the zone. Mm. So I could buy seeds from the States. I'll grow them. Like I grew the loofah seeds. First time I grew them, they were a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
Second time I took the seeds from the ones that I grew here, they started getting bigger because they're used to the climate and all of
right.
that. So exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, awesome. Because how do you, when looking at the permaculture technique, right, that allowed for, well, presented a situation where you're typically going to get more shade than in a traditional technical grow, I say to myself, why wouldn't more local farmers take advantage of the existing landscape so that we can grow more things like greens and lettuces that require a cool space? And then I experienced white fly myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand why farmers go out into an empty field with no trees anywhere, break their back to break up the rock, because you don't have the root system there to assist in breaking up the dirt.
Well, okay, I'll take it a couple of steps further. What they're doing in the States now, it's compatible growing, but it's not actually with other plants. They're growing plants for energy. So the shade now is not actually coming from a tree itself. It's coming from solar panels that they're setting up. Solar panels are powering the whole farm itself and everything. The extra piece of shade is creating a different permaculture area for the plants itself that are looking for that type of security.
Absolutely. Let me repeat these text and call in numbers. You can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. And you can text us at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. I got a couple of texts that came in just now. Is there anything you can do to stop fruit flies from attacking guavas on your tree? I tried apple cider vinegar, but that didn't work.
Yeah, it'll just pull them away from it. But if they smell something a little bit sweeter, they're going straight for it.
So hold on. Fruit flies not waiting until the fruit is harvested and, off the tree. While the fruit is getting ripe, fruit flies still waking?
Yeah, man. But more than likely what's happening is you've got an overripened fruit on the actual plant itself.
Right.
That one, and if you know, one bad apple will cause all the rest. So as you start to see that domino effect on your tree, one little tiny hole that allows that smell of the sugar and stuff to come off, and that starts to fermentate inside the sun, you're going to have your fruit flies.
Wow. And so there's this requirement for diligence on our behalf for the sake of the tree. My neighbor was picking coconuts out of his tree. You know, it was time to clean it.
Mm-hmm.
He cleans it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me why. He said, listen, your tree is pregnant.
Exactly.
It is giving birth. If you leave the babies on the tree, first of all, too many babies bunched together will scar the babies. But if you don't take the fruit off the tree, you're damaging the tree.
Oh, the tree has some amazing emotions inside them, just like the peas and the beans and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you do not pick these stuff off and consume it, the tree starts to feel like it's not appreciated.
Yeah.
And it will not produce any more for you. It's just that simple.
Listen, the tree is like a Bahamian. See, I know y'all thought I was going to say a Bahamian woman. I know y'all thought I was going to say that, but it's like a Bahamian generally, man or woman or in between. We got feelings, buddy, and don't you mash them. Don't you disregard our feelings. And our plants are just like that.
Uh-huh.
Just like that. I got another text here. It says, I noticed my pumpkin plants putting out a lot of flowers, but no babies popping up. Flowers just dropping off. Any tips, please? Let me answer this one for you. See, the problem is you noticing too much. Okay? You watching too much. Pumpkin plants say don't watch nothing. In fact, don't watch me. The more you watch me, the less inclined I am to give you this fruit. I shy. Now, I can say this. I like Bahamian woman. I kidding. Like Bahamian woman and man. When we shy, we shy. And we mean that. Don't watch us. And that's the pumpkin.
Yeah, you might be having a situation where you don't have any pollinators inside your area. So basically, you'll have to take a Q-tip, identify the male flowers from the female flowers. And if you know anatomy, male is further protruded away from the main plant itself, and the female is closer in.
Okay.
All right? So you'll just have to be able to identify the male and the female, take the pollens from the males, and go and impregnate the females and see if it works.
And pollination.
If you do not see any beetles, wasps, flies, or anything like that going around your flowers, and normally they're going to open up first thing in the morning and in the evening, then you have a problem with pollinators not being inside your area.
Awesome, awesome. I want to send out this notice. I've been sharing, when I get it, when it comes through to me on my Facebook feed, the schedule for mosquito fogging. I think it's either Ministry of Works or Ministry of Environmental Health, now Ministry of Environment. Either way, whoever's responsible for fogging, please, for the love of God and bees that ensure that we can eat things on the planet. Right? Like, it's because we're a Christian nation, there's two things we cannot live without in this country, God and bees. Trust me.
Yep.
Please post your fogging schedule regularly in advance all over the place.
Yep.
Because look here, I ain't asked nobody to fog my yard. I don't care about how you feel about mosquitoes. I rather get eat up by mosquitoes than to kill all the bees. Now, see, that's something I'm slightly intolerant about. I'll acknowledge that.
Man, when Zika first came out and the United States started and the rest of the world started spraying for the mosquitoes and so worried about it, that's exactly what happened. They started seeing the depletion inside all of the farming areas because the bees were being killed off.
Yeah.
And by the thousands, even here in the Bahamas with the spraying, with the wind going across, and now we have these cold fronts and stuff like that. I saw them fogging around in my area. Man, listen here. If we get rid of these bees through these chemicals and stuff, we are going to have an issue. All right?
Yeah. I got a question here. The person's asking how to get rid of whitefly and what's the best soil for potted vegetable plants. Help, please.
Potted vegetable plants, I create my own soil. Just make sure you have a lot of water-retaining elements inside of it, either coconut core or the peat moss, and then also something like perlite. To allow the proper drainage, make sure that your containers have sufficient space for the water to be drained out, and that you're watering them on time.
All right, all right. Another text. Why do we not do vertical farming? In fact, I was going to suggest that with the first part of Sparky's question, like he's saying he's running out of space with the vegetables. This text says, why do we not do vertical farming over here? We can solve our food issues if each home has one with aquaponics. Small setups by a corner window can produce large volumes of produce.
Yeah, if you're going to get into areas like aquaponics and stuff and you're not familiar with the fish life and stuff like that, you might introduce some other bacteria into your plants and then you're really harming yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so certain things I wouldn't try to get into or to bite off more than I can chew.
All right. You know? This text here says, my passion fruit are not pollinating. How do I fix that?
Yep, hand pollination. You got to go around and actually touch them yourselves. Now, on the Passion fruit is different. They have the pollinators right within itself. You're going to see the yellow piece that comes out on the actual stem. That's the piece that you want to pollinate the rest of the flower with. So you're actually breaking that off and touching the rest of the flower itself.
All right. Got a text here. Okay, so we're basically out of time, so I'm going to run through all the texts. I got a couple of texts that weren't related to the agriculture part of the show. I'm going to get to them. Mm-hmm. Good morning, please. When I leave work late night on Middle or Lover's Lane out, and all lights between the two bridges on Bay Street have been out for a long time. Yeah. Yes, I imagine they have. Also, portions of the lights on the highway are also out. Please fix them. Ooh, look at that. It's 10:58. Let's get through these texts. Morning, Aaron. I planted a mango tree 2 years ago. My tree is over 13 feet tall, but it is not bearing. Why is that?
4 to 5 years for a mango tree planted from seed. You just got to be patient with it.
Right, and maybe you should have been bonsaiing it a little bit to maintain the height. Another text. Great show as usual in Coral Harbor area at 624. The sand flies will literally kill you. They say lottery kill you. Boy, them sand flies bad out there. They're having a lottery for the humans if you go out. So how do I get rid of them? Make sure what you tell me actually works. I will bring up, you give me advice next time you come on the show. Oh, he's talking to you. He said, make sure I don't tell them. Well, first of all, I can tell you what to do. Put on some neem. What you got to do is you got to grow neem and lavender and oregano and Spanish thyme and citronella and rosemary and regular thyme. In fact, replace your grass in your garden with regular thyme. And you will see a reduction in the pests in your yard. And don't be threatening my guests like that. If you can tell me, I get it wrong. Good day, Miss Green and Mr. Davis. What can you spray your sweet peppers and tomato leaves with? I put down some snail bait. It got rid of it. But however, is this the best method? We answered that. And so if you missed that answer, you could tune into the replay of the show. Or you can go on to YouTube and look for the show. I'm going to give you all the Spotify and YouTube links again.
The other thing for the snail, too, you can put a little bit of pepper and some Vaseline, put it at the base of the plant, and that should be able to help it as well.
So a farmer put the pepper in the Vaseline is what you're telling me, Mr. Davis? Well,
I plead the fifth.
Okay, look here. I let me get through these texts. In the grove, I've seen a lot of disoriented bees after fogging the next morning. Yes, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. My neighbor and I witnessed the same thing immediately after fogging in our area. The person said, sorry, I meant hydroponics, not aquaponics.
Okay.
All right. And so, we removed the fish pod. But still, there's a science that has to be understood before you get into that. Hi, Aaron. I seem to have a black thumb. Nothing I attempted to grow grows. Any advice on how to plant a mango seed? You got to plant it with the right side up.
And you actually don't plant it. You leave it on top of the soil, and it's inside the pod. So the seed that you're seeing is actually the pod from the mango. So you have to either wait for that to dry or crack it open, and the seed is inside the pod. Place it on the soil sideways, put some plastic on top of it, make sure the moisture is there, and that's it. You do not bury it.
Absolutely. Listen, Mr. Davis, thank you very much. We're all out of time. I'm going to have you back, if not next week, the week after, because we got to get our gardens growing. If we're moving into this into the 2022 with uncertainty about food supply chains and global supply chain crises, we need to know that we have the tools necessary to feed ourselves to some extent.
Well, the company Grow was on the show before, so that's
what?
A first
look
step.
At everything
it's
teaming right
step.
Out.
Yep.
Everything, this is awesome. And the next time you come on, we're going to talk about bay leaf and passion fruit, the two best natural assist men in the game. Boy, if you got some little children, boil them some passion fruit leaf tea. You'd be surprised at how calm they become. And I got to go, but these little children go from daddy, daddy, daddy to father. School is out, and it's time for us to play. Anyway, you guys have a great day. Thank you, Mr. Davis, for joining me
again today.
And you guys, stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's 11 a.m. That means Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day.